Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowerment Saturday, another Saturday of motivation and empowerment just for you. Coming to you live once again, we're going to talk about issues that are important to the African-American community, to a mindset, to a people, questioning, pondering, thinking about what we need to do, what we need to work on, and what we need to change. It is up to you and myself and conscious people to be able to get to a place where we're working on ourselves to improve our community, to look within, to find solutions, to have discussions, to contemplate, to think about how we're going to educate our children, how we're going to educate our family and improve our status that we may become the better people that we can be one day at a time by simply trying to work on ourselves one day at a time. How do you do that? You have to be able to implement some structures into your community, into your family, into your household, into your children, and into your parents. So we're talking mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial empowerment for African Americans. That means it's political, economic, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. And the more that we can do the work of educating ourselves and developing ourselves using the peace concept, then we know things will get better. And as we go along, we can begin to challenge ourselves to look at how we can best educate our communities, how we can look at the health crisis that we're in and come up with a political agenda that will ensure that our people are taken care of, that the elderly are taken care of, and that our families are growing and improving each day, every day, just one day at a time. So our topic for today is Potluck Saturday. And so we're going to do a hodgepodge of discussions. Today, we're going to talk about the tragic shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery, right? Mask resistance and how people around the country are resisting, even wearing masks today. And we're talking about how we're going to be able to deal with this pandemic from a complete Afrocentric perspective. So if you are online and you'd like to join me now, the lines are open for callers. My co-pilot, Stan Macklin, will be joining us shortly. So, caller, it's on you. Talk to me. The lines are now open for conversation. Dan, are you there?
Brother Marvin.
Hey. Welcome to the
Brother
show.
Marvin.
How are you today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
What you got on your mind, brother?
Well, the answer to our community's problems, all of our problems, has not changed in the last 400 years. There's one answer, and the answer is tied to since tomorrow's Mother's Day, the answer is tied to family. We must come together as a people. That's has always been the answer. It still is the answer. And to have 90% of us that will say that will never happen, it shows you the true predicament that we are in. Because to say as a people that us coming together will never happen also says that we will never see heaven, as folks like to say it. Because if heaven is about family, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about us. And we must come together as a people. That is no other answer to everything that is going on.
Wow. So what are some steps you feel that we need to take as a community to come together and bridge that gap?
Well, one of the unrealistic things that we all say we need to do, you know, another thing that will never happen is that instead of leaving our communities, we need to move back to our communities.
Mm-hmm.
We need to come, as we say, back home instead of thinking leaving home is a sign of success.
All right, again, come on back home.
Yeah, we have to come on back home and be the leaders of our family, the leaders of our communities.
We did have a caller a couple of weeks ago talking about we used to have black doctors and black dentists and black professionals in the community when she was younger. And I said, are you alluding to that?
Yeah, that we lived in the communities, the teachers, the everybody. And another thing, like tomorrow, again, tomorrow is Mother's Day. I remember, and I'm going to use my mother as an example. My mother did everything in her life for us, her children. It wasn't about her. We weren't burdens to our mother. Now, my mother had a hell of a life. She had a hard time and all that. I mean, like most all of the young black women did when they had, you know, had us out of wedlock and so forth. But her thing was, no, I've got to do everything I can for my children. It wasn't a burden, as I said. It wasn't, oh, I got to have some time for myself, or oh, I got to do this, this. No, my mother was not like that. You know, everything she did was for us. When I got to the point in life where I could give my mother things and I was, you know, so-called becoming successful, I learned quickly that I couldn't give her money because she would turn right back around and give it to the children, my brothers and my sisters and my grandchildren, her nieces, and that, you know, wouldn't do anything for herself, buy her, and so we had to start buying her things for her. But her thing was, no, it's not about me. It's about what can I do for y'all. And that's the key. You remember, you know, back in the day when the old saying was save the children? Because we're expecting the children to save us all. I mean, that's like I said, it hasn't changed over the years. Okay. I mean, we can chase all the solutions that we want to see.
Hold that point right there. Stay right where you are. I want to bring some more callers in. Anybody want to respond to that particular perspective on coming back home and being a part of the community and helping to build our community inside and out? The line is open. Talk to me, caller.
Well, the brother makes a very good point that we've gotten away from family. As an indigenous people from the motherland, we learn that it does take a village. It takes a village to raise a child. And one profound thing he said, which is so good, heaven is about family. As a matter of fact, if you're not a member of the family, you're not going to even get up there. And so we have to return to our roots, per se. We've gotten so Europe-centric in our perspectives of independence that we want to be a self-made person, have the individuality where it's all about me, myself, and I. And it's at the exclusion of everybody else or what is the very foundation of family. So especially in times like these, we need one another. We really do. And so that was just a good point that he stressed. And it was well said, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Anybody else want to join in the discussion? It's getting live.
I'd like to say something. Just kind of piggybacking off what we're talking about, family. I just happened to be studying because I wanted to go back in our history and see what kind of societies that we had in Africa that were very successful. And one of the questions that I wanted to look up was that in all societies, you're going to have hierarchy evolve. It's impossible. You see it with kids in school. And when I say hierarchy, there's going to be some form of ultimate leadership that evolves. And one of the things that I see happening, especially in the African-American community, is with over, it's now like 70-something percent of our household are now headed by women. And I think that when you look into the animal kingdom, when you look into primates, when you look anything, there's kind of a natural hierarchy that arises. And this usually is the person that tends to be a little bit more aggressive and or assertive, not in a bad way, but the kind of the leader of the pack. And I think what's happening with our community is that even though the women are at the head of the household, there are certain instincts that as a woman I just don't possess. I mean, you know, as far as maybe, and I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to talk against women, because if you know me, I'm not, no one would consider me not assertive, but there are certain things in my makeup that I don't have when it comes to that protective piece. Assertive piece, that kind of natural suspicion, that kind of we tend to be, come on in, love you, I'm there for you, and we kind of bring that nurturing, which is necessary because we tend to be the first teachers of the home. But as far as the protective piece, you know, and it's just, I guess it's just the way that we're made up. And that's not to say that men are better than women and women are better than men. I'm not trying to bring that into the piece, but we have to look at the realities and look at the facts of what is happening in the community. And even in families, there's going to be a hierarchy that develops. There hierarchy is necessary to bring consensus, to come to decision. Doesn't mean that everybody doesn't, you know, come together and talk or anything, but ultimately there has to be decision makers. There has to be, at some point, how do we concede and say this is going to be the decision? So I'm just wondering when the man was talking about families, this tension that is happening with African-American men and African-American women is killing us. It's killing the family, because the family, you can't have a strong community without having a strong family. So when everybody's kind of at war with, well, you're not the boss of me, because it's not about who's the boss and all that kind of stuff. It's just that in communities, no matter where you go in society, hierarchy will develop because that person is perceived as being the stronger person, and people tend to have confidence in the stronger person. So I just kind of threw that out there. I don't know what the answer is, but if we don't begin to solve this tension that is between African-American women, African-American men, I just don't see how we get our feet off the ground.
All right.
You made a key point. I was going to say, you made a key point at the beginning when you talked about the differences of the hierarchy, the man and the woman and so forth. But what it is, which we don't understand, and when I'm saying that we, in this case, particularly the black man, we have different roles as a man and a woman. The woman has a role in the family, in life, in heaven, and the man has a role in life, in the family, as in heaven. It does not mean, as you said earlier, that one is superior to the other. We have different roles. Men give birth to nothing but ideas if we're lucky. The woman has the primary central role, she gives birth to the future. The man plants the seed. So we go on in the future. Now, as you said also, sister, the woman is naturally the first teacher of the child. She can have that child hating its father when the child is in the womb, if her and the father ain't on the same page. And she prepares that child, and they say that when the child becomes around 7 years old, then the father really takes over and cultivates that and prepares them for what is in him or in her, for that leadership's role. It's not about necessarily the hierarchy. It's that we are older, we are more experienced, we are more wiser. So leadership actually should be education, educating the future, passing on that greatness. What a woman will do, and I'm going to go out on the line and on a limb on this one and speak for sisters. A sister by nature looks to her man, and the man is supposed to lead the family to God. So that's how you judge the leadership. Is he leading properly? Do you see your father? Do you see God in your man? And your man should see God in you, his woman, and together we bring on and we carry forth in God.
Right.
That's heaven,
right.
You know, and that's leadership. You know, it shouldn't be no differences between the man and the woman. We shouldn't be arguing enough. And I put it this way: I'm the oldest in my family. I'm the oldest sibling in the family, and I say to my brothers and sisters, I should be the first one to die because I was the first one in. So I should be the first one out. Now I'm not trying to go too soon. You know, but it's only natural that as before I go, I should do everything I can in the eyes of God, which is the God in me, make life even better than what it was when I got here. Therefore, when my siblings and my children and so forth that survived me, they just carrying on what was already started. That's the family. That's the neighborhood. That's the unity. That's in our lives what has been broken. Slavery broke that. Slavery took away that unity. As I like to say, the black man, or so-called black man, because, you know, we weren't black until 1966, and James Brown said, say it loud, we black and I'm proud. But the black man went into slavery. The nigger came out. It was a process.
All right,
it was designed to make you happy.
The other callers on the line, and we can continue the dialogue. We got 10 minutes left. It's a short show, so we got to pack it all in. Anyone else want to chime in before we do the round rock? All right. Ben, what do you have?
Well, it's just good just to listen to good thinking, good talking. Sister and brother, like I said, they make some real good points. The uniqueness of working together is a very crucial element that has brought us to where we are today. We respond when negativity happens to one of us. So the village is still there. Even though I don't live with that brother who was jogging and got slain by those two practicing races, you can feel the pain. You can feel that mother's pain. And so that's the camaraderie that we have with each other. But we have to take it to the next level. We have to take it to the level where we can be more productive and proactive. We are too much of consumers. We consume a lot and do a lot of talking, but we don't do a lot of doing. And I think we got to get back to that.
I think that's a good point as far as the, you know, about the consuming and that sort of thing. But I think that, you know, I'm not sure that says that, you know, if the foundation isn't built right, then when adversity comes and the winds come, then the house goes down. And so one of the things, I don't have all the answers, but we at least can come together with cooler heads and say the model that we currently have working in the African-American, it's not working. Now, I don't know what the answers are to that or what the solution or how we come around to make it better, but it's not working. And, you know, to beat a dead horse and try to get around that and try to ignore that, I don't think gets us, you know, doesn't really get us in a position to be effective. So it's a conversation that I think that men have to have, I think women have to have, and then men and women come together and have the conversation. Because one of the things that we know right now is that Black women are some of the most educated women in the United States as far as income is concerned. I don't know how much asset wealth we have.
Right.
And so we are doing that whole thing that you call education. And we're doing that whole thing, you know, we're buying our homes, we're doing all that. But the model is not working. It's not working.
Excuse me, sister. Let's expand on that. What do you see as missing? What's missing?
I think what's missing is that because we have all been colonized. I'm looking into this. You know how they have the AA groups when they get in and they have these meetings and they say, my name is Benita and I'm an alcoholic. I think at some point, I don't know if maybe we could get together and, you know, my name is Benita and I've been colonized. And what does that mean? We've all been colonized. I don't care how educated you are, I don't care how much money you got. We all are colonized. We got colorism going on. We got all kind of stuff going on in our own community. So it's not to blame anybody. It's not to make anybody feel bad. But I've been colonized, and what does that look like? I've been colonized to hate myself. I've been colonized to hate my man. I've been colonized to hate this. I've been colonized not to like this. And us take responsibility and say, hey, look, we're all in this together. We all been colonized. This colorism thing, hey, I'm in the same shape you in. You in the same shape that I'm in.
Well, but we have to understand the origin of this country. This is not our original country. This is
right.
A country that you might have been born in, but this is not our genesis. And
nor is it our original language.
And when you've been indoctrinated in this form of American dream or utopia, this is what you get. We're a carbon copy of something that is to be, when in the original state. It's not like that. It's not like that. And I've traveled the world in a lot of different places, and that's why I jumped on the family aspect, because family is very important in most indigenous countries you go to. I don't like to say I'm an American. I'm an African who happened to be born in America. And, you know, because this country is about race, white supremacy and racism. And, and you may not be a practicing racist, but we're all racist because we were born in that. We were indoctrinated in that. And so when a man can't even jog down the street without two men getting in behind him and gunning him down, that says a lot about this so-called country. So we got to quit trying to fit in.
Exactly.
Let me just say something real quick, Carlos. We're inside of 5 minutes, we talked about in the entry of the show is that the young man got gunned down in Georgia, right? And I would call it a modern-day lynching. I would also look at Emmett Till, very much close to that. Why are we continuing to be in these situations and these conditions? We got a short amount of time, so you got to make it really brief.
Well, as the brother said earlier, we don't do anything. We talk a lot, but we don't do anything.
Yeah, so true. And I think we need institutions that define our own reality. We're always trying to fit in, and we got to cut that out. We're unique.
Right.
None of us are the same because we don't look alike. We don't have fingerprints alike. But we're unique. We're unique enough to establish our own reality. And I think that's a God-given must.
Hi, this is Shalonda. I also wanted to say that I think that to your point about why somebody is still getting killed the way they are with the young man Ahmaud recently, I think that in this culture, and I agree with everything everybody said, we are obviously still very colonized and living in the practices and the structure of what white supremacy has created. I think that white people, nothing has changed, right? Our leadership has changed,
right,
which has emboldened a lot of white people to deputize themselves the way they did during slavery, where as before it might have been more theoretical, and now they're actually putting action to it. And that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that this is new, right? We know that none of this is new. But I think when you feel safe and supported in your government that is, you know, which our president called the same people who killed this man, we have to see the whole tape. We don't really know. They could be good people. Like, when he says stuff like that, again, there's a Facebook page with 50,000 people supporting the two men that killed the young black man. And that number is growing. And so I think that, again, these are different times. And to Benita's point, we absolutely do have, you know, continued internalized racism and trauma. And I think that's what, to me, Benita was speaking to in particular, is that there's so much trauma that we still have to deal with. And in the midst of that trauma, we are also still continuing to be oppressed and killed in very violent ways.
Let two black men go do that.
We need to stop being surprised or acting surprised by their actions. We need to let their actions make us take action. White folks can't surprise. I've been on this planet to be 68 years in a few months. And what we're talking about now, I talked about when I was a teenager. I talked about when I was before I got to a teenager, when I was an adolescent. I saw the murders. I saw the hangings. I've been all my life.
Yeah,
I've been seeing it. I'm not surprised by this is who they are.
Right.
You know, and
well,
if you go like,
to cut the stand, guys. I know you're into it. It's only 30 minutes. You guys, come back next week and join us again for the Empowerment Saturday show. Thank you so much for contributing. Think about what we're talking about. It's up to us to make a change. Change won't end with talking. It only begins with action, and we have to be able to make a great action toward improving our communities one person at a time. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me no. But I know a change.
change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.